Blog Talk Radio.
You've tuned into Big Exclusives.
Please don't forget to subscribe to this channel.
Now, welcome your host, Valerie Denise Jones.
All right, guys. Welcome to Big Exclusives. It's Tuesday. I hope you're having a great day. I am having a very pleasant day. And you know what? I'm really, really excited about today's show. 929-477-1167, 929-477-1167. Please, if you are live and tuned in and sharing our links, please share that number. Invite a friend who will invite a friend to the show. Big shout out to our international callers and listeners and people in the chat room. We appreciate you guys so much. Also, everybody who shares the link on social media, I've got a surprise for you, so stay tuned for that. All right, guys. I just wanted to tell you something real quick. I want to read this super quick before we bring in the host of the show, because I found this article to be, you guys know I love to read. I love to Google. And I just wanted to tell you that today's guest is actually a part of a list that was printed earlier this year, actually, listing the 10 most essential Miami bass tracks. And I just wanted to read this part because I thought it was really cute. It is going to take up about maybe a minute or so of your time, but I promise you it'll be worth it. Lewd, nasty, abrasive, and raw is the best way possible. Miami bass was the go-to party sound of Southern Florida from the mid-80s up through the mid-90s. Born out of the electro-funk era, Miami bass, or booty bass, guys, that's what they call it. Booty bass was the city's answer to New York and Los Angeles' district styles of hip-hop. Craving an identity of their own, Miami rappers gravitated toward booming 808s, hissing cymbals, excessive scratching, and raised dance tempos. This, paired with sexually explicit lyrical content that was considered obscene at the time, set the city apart from everywhere else in the U.S. The lyrical Shook Factor and Fat Low Ends of Miami Bass had a raucous, full-size party appeal to it, much to the chagrin of concerned parents slapping parental advisories on every hip-hop album they could find, brought the genre national attention. Groups like today's guest, Two Live Crew, 69 Boys, Black Tack, with their contagious call and responsive lyricism made the Southern City look like the most debaucherous party capital in the world. Miami bass place in the sun, however, burned out bright and quick, overshadowed by the national hype and attention surrounding East and West Coast gangster rap. We're going to talk about that here today to see why people think that gangster rap actually replaced bass. But I wanted to share that with you guys because I found it to be very, very relevant to today's interview. What I want to do at this time, since we got so many people in the building, let's just go on and jump right into this and introduce the host of the show, 818-613-818-613. Welcome to the show, Philo the Great. How are you, sir? I'm trying to push this applause button, but for whatever reason, it's not working. There we go. Yes, sir.
Thank you.
How are we
feeling?
Much.
I'm doing great. You should be doing awesome, though. You might be over there dancing already, right? This is like a homecoming for you, right? Miami.
Yeah. Born and bred in Coconut Grove.
Chakras. You know what I'm talking about?
So lower chakras. Lower chakras.
Yeah, you should be ecstatic right now, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Like a homecoming party or something. Yeah, definitely that. So what I want to do is I want to play one of the songs because I want to save actually Bass Mechanic for the final edit. Let people, for those people who will actually share the link, they will get that exclusive content, Bass Mechanic. But right now I think I want to start with Hit Harder or How Much Can You Take. Which one? Pick one, Philo. Which one would you like me to play before we bring in today's guest?
I always like to hit it harder, so let's roll with that.
Yeah. All right. Hey, Jeff Kwan, I see you in the building. And all of our ride or dies, welcome to the show. I appreciate you guys so much.
Yo, classy.
What's that?
Yo, classy.
Yes.
What's happening?
Yes. Let's do a vow for the hood.
We're going to do one for the hood.
Yes. We're going to do a vow for the hood.
Okay, we're going to do it hood style
hood
for
style.
The feather.
Hood style for feather.
Hit hard. Hit harder. Hit hard. Hit harder. Hit hard. Hit harder.
Back up, people of the great in the house, 929-477-1167. I am the one and only Valerie Denise Jones. We're having a great time over here. Hope you are too. That was Hit Harder by MC A to the D to the E. Let's go on. Let's not keep him waiting. 954-274. Welcome, family. Kinfo, king of booty popping. How you doing, sir?
Hello, how you doing?
Hey.
Can you hear me?
Dade County in the building? Is that where you are? You still in Dade County right now as we speak?
Dade County, where it's been.
Yeah. All right. So you definitely are deserving of this. I want to give you one of our
big applause.
So, yeah, it was just, yeah, I'm just here. My job is to check your temperature and see how you're doing. Yeah, so 954 in the house. I'm really, really excited about this. Sheila the Great over there in Tennessee, are you ready?
Always, always good to have a pioneer in the building, especially someone who's often considered to be the start of Miami bass. You know what I'm talking about? So that's what we're going to get into. We're going to, you know what I'm saying, take a trip down memory lane back to 85 when that Bass Rock Express dropped. You know what I'm talking about? So it's a great way to just go ahead and get into it. MCADE, how are you doing today, sir? Appreciate you taking time out your day to be here today.
How you doing, my brother? Can you hear me all right?
Man, I hear you just fine, sir. Loud and clear. You are in the building. So, man, let's just take a let me just ask you, ADE, what does that stand for? MCADE.
A is for awesome, D is for devastating, E is for everlasting rhythms and rhymes that I'm creating. Put it plain and simple, Adrian does everything.
Indeed, indeed, indeed. So MCADE stands for Adrian does everything. So being that you have that acronym on that name, why is it that you do everything? Did you produce? Did you rap? Did you do the whole nine yards?
The whole nine.
Wow. So as my research shows me, you being a producer, rapper, I wanted to ask you, which one did you find that you hit most home with? Was it the production or was it the rap?
I think, yeah, I would say the production. I would say the production. I really vibe with the production a lot more, I would say.
Now, I was just listening to the song Hit Harder, okay? Now, this is a bass song, a Miami bass song, all right? And the hook puts me in the mind, it put me in the mind of a Southern group, a duo, by the name of A-Ball and MJG. And they had a song called Pimp Harder. Pimp Hard, Pimp Harder, Pimp Hard, Pimp Harder. Same thing as what I heard in the hook. Hit hard, hit harder, hit hard, hit harder. Was that Pimp Hard, Pimp Harder a derivative of Hit Hard, of the Hit Hard song that we just heard?
Yeah, they bit that one.
Wow. So, all right. Now, MJG and A-Ball, they sampled the Hit Hard back in the, well, yours was out first. They sampled it, made it Pimp Hard, Pimp Harder. So, how has it been, like, since you having it, this title, like the pioneer, so to say, the start of Miami bass, that it started with you, then it went on, other people came behind you. Can you give me a insight on how you became to be who you are as that pioneer, as that start of the sound that you created, which they call it a subgenre of Miami bass music?
Well, as far as for me, my dad had a record store, and I started working there when I was like 11 years old. And before that, actually, what happened before I made, I guess, my first record, should I say, my dad, he started, he was like, he had the hottest record stores, you know, in the city, you know. He was, and everybody came from everywhere to get music from him because he would, you know, bring his music in, like out of New York and stuff like that, and all the, you know, places where to get, you know, the hottest music. So he was like the hub. And rap had just started, you know, at that time. And he was, and it was like Sugar Hill Gang and those other, you know, different people like that. and he was selling a ton of those records, you know, because it was a new thing, and you know, and so he was like, "Yo, they making these records, you know, and this is black music. Like, yo, I could do this too," because he was an entrepreneur. He had multiple businesses and, you know, things like that. So he decided to start making a record. And when he started to make the record, which would have made him the first, you know, independent hip-hop label, you know, in the entire South period anyway, which they give the credit to Luke, but it was my dad. And he did the first record, which was Beefbox. And it was with MC Chief and Sexy Lady. And what happened, just so happened, one day, unbeknownst to me, he carried me into the studio, not to go in to do any work, but just to, you know, just he was just going by to check on the project that he was working on with them to do his first record. And when I got there, the young lady, Sexy Lady, she asked me, what did I think about the record and what did it sound like? And I told her, well, you know, because they already had the record done. And I said, well, it sounds good, but if it was me, I would, you know, I'd give it a different rhythm, a different beat, you know. I was like 12 at the time, going on 13, and she was like, well, you know, so she spoke to the engineer, Frank Kanias, and she was like, yo, can we check out what he's saying? And he was like, oh, that kid doesn't know what he's talking about. And so she rubbed up against my father using her womanly woes or wiles. And then my dad was like, okay, Frank, can you just pull that track to the side? You don't have to erase it. And just let's, you know, see what he's talking about, whatever. Now, he wasn't doing it for me. He was doing it for this woman, you know. But anyway, pull that track to the side, and my man broke out the drum machine and was like, okay, all right, what you know, and he just, you know, gave me a blank slate, and I just started beating on the desk, you know, like any kid would do, you know, and he started programming the beat I put down, and, you know, we went from there, from sounds and different things, and next thing you know, we're finished with that record. We never heard that original record again, and we put that record out, and that was a smash hit, and that was the first record to start, you know, independent hip-hop label, and it was called Beefbox, and that's what started that. Fast forward to, like, a year or two later, you know, because what happened, I would visit my dad in the summer, work in the record store, then I go back and live with my mom. But my dad was making records, and those records that he was making, the times that I wasn't there, turn out there was a lot of them were flopping. So he was trying to figure out what happened, actually, you know, because everybody kind of caught amnesia on what happened in the studio. And then when I came back one summer, he was like, yo, why don't you make a record? Because you're the one that really made that first record, because I produced the record, and I didn't know what a producer was, didn't know I really produced anything. And, you know, but turns out that I did produce that record. So he was like, yo, why don't you make a record? And then we sat there, and I was, you know, mixing on the turntables when he was talking to me. And he was like, you know, let's make a record. And he was like, you know, like a train record, because, you know, people were looking for this train sound at the time, like from Kraftwerk. And so he was like, and then I was like, because on the stereo system, there was a bass and treble knob, like on all of them. But I used to always try and get the bass out of the system as much as possible. I just dug the bass. So that was my take on it. And I was like, okay, bass and rock, you know, solid as a rock. And with my dad thing on a train, you know, like a express that can't be stopped. And so he was like, okay, he set up some studio time, didn't rehearse anything, didn't go through anything. Matter of fact, the day came when got ready to go to the studio and that morning, and he was like, yo, you ready for the studio tonight? And I'm like, what? Man, I thought you was playing or tripping, you know, because I'm like, okay. And I'm trying to figure it out, and I just, you know, I was looking at TV, saw Green Acres, and they had the little theme, dun-dun-dun-dun. So I was like, okay, I can use that, and then I'll just freestyle from there, you know, on the production, on the rhythm, on the beat, like I did before. Mm-hmm. So we get to the studio, and we got another engineer now, and he breaks out the 808, and I just do the same thing like I did before the studio with the beats, you know, just doing the beats on the table, the rhythms, because like I said, I worked in a record store. Even though I was real young, I knew, you know, these records and these grooves. And we did Bass Rock Express and put it out, and it was a smash hit again. And that's what started the first bass record. You know, and that was bass music. That was the start of bass music. And it wasn't, also, it wasn't about, you know, because I heard the young lady, and she was saying, you know, because it's been, you know, misinterpreted a lot where people say, oh, well, booty music and this and that. That didn't start with me because I wasn't, you know, that wasn't my thing. You know, that was something Luke came into the game afterwards. And started with the, you know, misogynist music and all of that. That was not my type of music. My music was music and bass. You know what I'm saying? That's what my music was about.
And that's why I'm here giving the interview. And Valerie just giving shouts out to her hometown, Miami. You know, we all know
most definitely.
Uncle Luke did start that way. But, yes, I do agree with you. I do want the people to know that the bass music had his own lane, such as you had other people come behind you, such as Rodney O and Joe Cooley, with Everlasting Bass. So that was the bass. That was the bass lane. It's Time, boom, 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 boom. A lot of your skating music at the time that we were skating to was strictly bass music. It didn't have a lot of lyrics to it. It was just strictly rhythm, melodic. And if you had a pair of skates, 9 times out of 10, you were skating to some bass music back then. You know what I'm saying?
That's
right. So you're right. It did not go to the booty music, or so to say, until Uncle Luke. And shout out to Uncle Luke too, man, because it is because of Uncle Luke that you can cuss on records now. He took that to the Supreme Court, and he's the reason for the explicit advisory sticker, so you can be able to, you know, say what you want. So, Miami bass, man, I just want people to understand, like you said, it is a different lane, different genre than the what they label booty music. It was just strictly bass music, and it really didn't have a lot of lyrics to it. It was just strictly bass. You dance, you pop lock, you break dance. That's what you did to bass music. You seen a lot
that's
of break
right.
dancers. You seen a lot of pop lockers. They was doing it strictly to the bass music because the more of attention was put on what they was doing in their art. And the bass music really complemented what they was doing because it wasn't many lyrics behind it. So, yes, indeed. Shout out to you, brother, and the bass music, MCADE.
That's what's up.
Yeah, so, man, at this time, bro, why don't you let the people know, man, what are you doing right now in the present? What is MCADE doing right now in the present out there in Dade County?
Well, what I'm doing right now, I'm producing my daughter. We just dropped a single on her and, you know, working her project. And it's called I Need a Thug. But when you hear the word thug, it's an acronym. It's for the heart you give. So that's the little twist to that, you know. And it's called I Need a Thug, T.H.U.G. You know. So it's the heart you give, but it's dope. It's moving well, and it's a great tune, you know.
So I gotta ask. Were you behind that title being that we got MCA period, D period, E period? Yeah, most definitely. So true what they say, peaches and pears don't fall too far from the tree. So we got
that's
that
right.
And that's I Need a Thug. And go ahead and say that acronym again. The Heart You Give, is that correct?
The Heart You Give, correct.
And where can we find that? What is your daughter's name, man? Go ahead and plug her right quick.
Her name is, she's called The Drea Show. And you can find it on, you know, Spotify, iTunes, all your major platforms, all your digital platforms, SoundCloud, everywhere.
So I got to ask, is your daughter a R&B artist, a hip-hop artist, or the total package, a mixture of both?
A mixture of both.
And what would you, and what would you say would make her, I would say stand out? Because, you know, you got a lot of people getting in the game, especially the independent artists. What would you say makes her stand out?
She's her writing ability and her the way she, you know, paints her pictures. She's a writer, you know, and she's very good at drawing you in into her writing and, you know, her way of telling you, you know, what's going on and the way she see things.
Now, is that your only child, your daughter?
As far as I know of. Just keeping it 100.
You took me over there and I wasn't expecting that answer, boy. Not that shit, not that shit. That's the only one I know of. Ain't no surprises.
Okay.
Hopefully we ain't got no surprises.
Okay. Real talk.
Wow. Yeah. Indeed. So, ADE, you working with your baby, your daughter. You said she got that, what'd you say, The Heart You Give, I Need a Thug.
Yes.
That's out. So are you working with anyone else but besides your daughter with the production? Being that you say you found a love for production, so right now, is anybody else in the workings? You working with anybody else besides your daughter?
Not too tough, you know, because, you know, dealing with artists today is a little tricky, you know. And I wouldn't really be doing it if it wasn't for her, to be quite honest with you. It was just that she stepped to me. And, you know, she was like, you know, Dad, I want to make a record. And I was like, you tripping, because, you know, the music game is, mm-hmm. you know, so serious, you know. But because I, you know, wanted to help her with, you know, I mean, she grew up under this, you know, and she sees all the different accolades from her dad and stuff like that. So it's, you know, it's mm-hmm. just been in her. So that was the reason I had to help her and get behind her. But in doing so, I found, you know, a new love for it, you know, and just getting back into production and all of that, and my skills being sharpened so much. It's like being away from it for a while and then coming back to it, it's like, it's, you know, my skills were magnified and it just blew me away. And, you know, just loving it, you know what I'm saying? So, yeah, but dealing with a lot of artists, because artists today, they though, you know, I mean, as far as them, you know, what did we call it back then? Artists, shucks, you know, when they deal, I forget the name, simple word, but.
Well, artist development.
Go ahead. Yeah, artist development. And dealing with artists today, man, you know, it's like going somewhere to teach school. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
And my patience and time, you know, for these kids here, I just, you know, that's a whole nother story for me. So it's just
right.
because she is my daughter, and she was, you know, and I raised her, so we already know who each other are. So a lot of drama we not going through. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So,
mm-hmm.
Yeah, and these kids, they don't want to listen, man. They want to tell you what to do, you know?
Right.
I dig it, you know what I'm saying? I dig it. I you know, I respect their opinions and different things they bring it to the table. But, you know, at the same time, you know, it's no artist development, you know? It's just, you know, it's just free willy out here.
Right, and you know, the labels ain't developing like they used to. Number one, it costs money. Most of these artists ain't worth the money because they don't get the return on it. But I wanted to ask you, being that we talking about Bass Rock Express, we talking about a 1985 single, right? We talking
uh-huh.
about MCABE, Bass Mechanic, right? We talking
mm-hmm.
about MCABE, that was on Foresight record label, which was Pop's record label, right? So,
yes, sir.
How, man, please tell me, what did you do to come all the way up to 2019? Because back then now the beats have changed to more trap style, more, the 808s haven't changed, but the patterns, the beat patterns have changed. How are you relevant right now? How are you relevant in 2019? Let me know that.
Well,
you got it. Let's do it.
Well, I let her bring a lot of that to the table, and I do what I do as far as the production and the music, and you know, we blend it together, you know, and bring that happy medium. You know, so it's like I say, you know, I Need a Thug is popping, you know, it's jamming, you know, right now.
Yeah, we're gonna have to check that out. You're gonna have to get that to us ASAP. Can you please get that
okay.
to us ASAP? Please get it to us ASAP.
Well, I mean, you want it in a email or how you want it?
Yes, you can send it to the email, therealbossradio@gmail.com. But I will get you that information. I will make sure Valerie get with you behind the scenes, and we will send you the information so you can get us that single. You know what I mean? And we're going to play it because
mm-hmm.
I want to hear it because MCADE, and not taking away nothing from it because you was popping in your day. You know what I'm saying? Like you say, all the accolades
mm-hmm.
your daughter's saying inspired her to get in the game, and who better to come to than her pops? Understandable. But, baby, Pops was doing it in 85. It's 2019. How is Pops
Most
sounding
definitely.
Now? How is his ear now with the sound, with the trap, with the music that's going on now? How is Pops sound now, MCADE? And that's what I would like to hear. And I heard you say, you felt like since you stepped away and came back, you didn't get better with time. Is that correct?
That's correct.
So, you know, I can't wait to hear it. So, in any event, man, in any event, you're present. Well, what would you like to see happen, man? Well, what are your 3 years from now, what do you see MCADE doing?
I would say, more, you know, production and producing, some film, you know, just more stuff on the creative side, because that's what I do, is good at being very creative.
Okay. So, like, do you see, and I wanted to ask you this, being a pioneer, do you see that most of the pioneers are being forgot about or not getting the proper homage or respect they deserve? coming from the people behind, coming from the ones behind them. Yeah, I can see some of that slippage happening. Actually, you know, there was a on BET, I think when they honored Luke, and that was about a couple years ago, and he kind of, I know he was under the lights and, you know, it was going on, and he kind of got caught up. Because he was like, well, I'm just going to say it, you know, I started this or something like that. But, you know, we know that's not the case. He knows that because we actually were going to sign Luke to our label, you know, when he first started. But, you know, people, I guess it's kind of unfortunately like second nature not to, especially for black folks, you know, not to pay homage. And, you know, because we come from, you know, the hoods and the ghettos, and we try so hard to make it out and do our thing that we forget what shoulders we do come up on. And so when we do make it out, we can only just think about our own struggle and, you know, what it took for us to get out. And we forget, you know, what actually helped us get out. So is it safe to say that Luke the Campbell, Luke Skywalker, should pay homage to Mr. Billy Hines, the first, I would say the first label. Like you say, the first hip-hop label in the South, Foresight record label. So that homage should come from Luther Campbell to Mr. Billy Hines as being recognized as that's where he got his influence from to want to own Skywalker record, a Luke record. You know what I mean? Because there was someone before him who did Foresight, the Foresight record label that you were signed to, whom you said right here today that you all were getting ready to sign Luke, but was offering him a record deal. So it was no bad blood, you know. It was just that, hey, it is what it is. You know, I'm enjoying the insight, man. I'm enjoying the insight because those were intricate parts of hip-hop in the music business because those are transitions. It was a lot of transitions back then, a lot of transitions. And so to me back then you had more lanes. You didn't have to sound like nobody. You could actually be original back then and eat. Everybody had their own lane back then. Nowadays, everything sounds the same. If you don't sound like this person or that person, then it's hard to get on because everything to me nowadays is fad music. It's made out of a fad. And once the fad plays out, then that music that was created in that fad plays out with it. The music nowadays is not longevity. It only lasts for a short period of time, and you don't want to hear it no more. 3 to 5 years from now, most of these songs you're hearing now will not be hot. I won't even say it takes that long. Sometimes it's 30 minutes. But that's another story again. Well, what you got to say about that MCADE being that you came before me? You've been in the game. You've been around this. You hear all types of music.
I agree with you. I agree with you. It's just, you know, so convoluted now. And a lot of the same stuff that the market definitely has changed is, you know, it's much more of a business now, which is the good part about it. But the bad part is not as much creativity, you know, where you can identify, oh, this is this person or this is this or what have you, because it's all kind of just is sounding the same. So I do agree with you on that, but comes with, you know, a part of that growth. Those are some of the bad things to come along with it.
Now, if you had to work with one of the new wave, one of the new age artists, had to work with one, who would it be and why?
That's a good one. I don't know. That's a tough one. Now I would have to really think on that. You know, I don't know, man, because you know you got cats out here. Cause see, these cats today, they don't. You know, when you go in the studio with them, they don't even want to be produced. They just want to go in there and just, you know, just do whatever. And it's like, you know, I come from an era, you know, where we go in the studio and it's like, okay, we're going to get it right. You know, it's more about getting it right than just throwing something down and just throwing it out, you know. So producers like me, Dr. Dre, Jermaine Dupri, you know, we have a different breed, you know what I'm saying? Because, again, like Jermaine Dupri used to send us demos, you know what I'm saying? You know, Dr. Dre, you know, I toured with him. I toured with him when he was, it was, you know, I think he was with the group World Class Wrecking Crew at the time. You know, he wasn't necessarily, you know, doing that other thing he was doing. But, you know, all them guys know of me. All them guys learn from me as well. You know what I'm saying? Because I was stomping in their cities, and they had to listen to what we were doing, you know? So, like I said, we paved the way for a lot of that stuff. So far as dealing, like I say, with these artists today, it's, you know, they don't want to be produced. So I'm sure, like I say, when Dre or Jermaine or one of them cats go in the studio, I'm sure they could say the same thing, you know, far as, you know, trying to tell them, you know, well, you need to do this part over, or you need to do that. And it's like, no, that's what it is, man. That's how it is. And we're going to leave it like that, you know. And, you know, it could get, and then they may, you know, because I was just talking to some of my guys the other day, and they was telling me about some producing and stuff and other producers, you know, from back in the day, and with them working with artists today and the way they may come out their mouth to you and speaking, and you know, they feel like, you know, they you know, you getting a check and they can talk to you any kind of way, and it's just, man, it's just crazy, you know what I'm saying? And it's like, and the cats are like, you know what, you can keep that check, you know, I'd rather not even, you know, work with you, deal with you before, you know, it, this thing turn into something else, you know. So that's what you got going on.
All right, and so, man, I heard you mention film. You like being a creator. So any films coming from your way? Are you working on a film now? And if so, when can we expect?
Well, for me, I don't know. You understand? Because I'm really focusing on her stuff right now. Promoting and producing her, but I could do something at any time, because, you know, that's just in me, you know, the music and being creative, it's nothing, you know. So I can't call it, and I'm the type of person, you never know when I might transform. But I can do something at any time, is just what I'm saying. And, it has to be no warning. It'll just go down.
And, yeah, and for the listening audience out there, I want you all to realize, if you're just tuning in, this is MCADE speaking. And when he just said her, he was referencing his daughter. He's right now working with his daughter. and she has a single out. And please state her stage name again, man, where they can find that single. I Need a Thug.
The Drea Show. That's THEDRIASHOW. The Drea Show. And the name of the song is I Need a T period U period T period H period U period G period. I Need a Thug. And that stands for the heart you give. Okay, that's, you know, so that's a twist on the word thug. It's the heart you give. I Need a Thug.
And that is the Drea Show. So y'all go support that right now, because that's what he was referencing. So, man, what would you like the world to know about you, man? Tell me something that I didn't know about MCABE that I can't get from the internet. Something you know I can't find on the internet. Give our listeners something about you, man. We don't know. You got it. Let's get it.
What you don't know about me? Well, I don't know. I wrote a little book. I mean, you know, it's not many pages, but it's called What is the Soul? Just explaining, you know, to people. It's more on a spiritual vibe, and it's just explaining to people what is the soul, you know, because we have, and I think if more people understood really what is the soul and what part they play and how things play, we'd be able to make better decisions, especially our youth, because to each individual, from what I believe and come to understand and wisdom that I've been given, is that, you know, there's three parts to us. You have the spirit of the Father, the breath that he breathed in you, that's in you. You got the flesh that's on you, and you got the soul. And that's like having three minds in you, three different thinking minds as well, okay, because they all play a part, so they have to be thinking, so they all have to have a mind. You understand? So you have three different parts going on with you, and the one you control is the soul. And that one mind has to pick between which one it's going to follow and which one it's going to let lead its life. And if people understood that when they're making decisions, when thoughts come to their head and something says, you know, some kid, he feels like he's gay, or he's going through something, and he's thinking to his head, well, maybe he should commit suicide because of this. You have to understand that you got three minds going on in you, and just because you're in the room by yourself doesn't mean that's you saying you should kill yourself. You understand what I'm saying? That's one of those minds is telling you that. And if you can identify, because you got to be able to identify the enemy, and if you can identify, you know, what's going on, then you can make a better decision, a better choice, and you realize that's not necessarily you that's talking. You dig? So it's very important that we understand how we're made. You know, this is not fiction. You know what I'm saying? This is real.
Right.
And if we could understand that, people understand that on different decisions and different things they make, they can make better decisions. You dig what I'm saying? So because if you're in a room somewhere, yeah, you know what I'm saying? It's real powerful. You know what I'm saying? Because if you're sitting somewhere by yourself and you're just getting thoughts coming to your head and this and that, you're going to take ownership. And that's the wrong thing, to take ownership of every thought that you think that you're coming up with. Yeah,
so
that's a deadly thing,
you just broke down. You just broke down a simple phrase that I tell people what life is, and you did it dealing with the soul. Basically, you just broke it down and got in depth that you got three minds. You got the breath that God breathes in you, a higher power that breath into you, which is the spirit. All right. Then you say you have the flesh, what's on you, which is true. And then you have the soul. And then you broke it down to say the soul is what you control. So the soul is what you have to do to make a choice whether you're going to give in to the spirit or the flesh. Okay, so you got in depth with that. Now, I simplify that and tell people this is what life is. Life is simply flesh and spirit. And whichever one you feed the most is what takes over. So if you don't take time out to feed your spirit, man, then your flesh is taking over. You're allowing your flesh to take over because you're not feeding your spirit, man. You have to feed your spirit, man. Whichever one of those two men you feed the most, and according to what I just heard you say, your soul makes that decision, helps make that decision to which one you feed the most, whether you're going to feed your flesh or your spirit the most, then that's what you allow to take over.
That's correct. That's correct. And for me, you know, I found it, you know, a lot of people call it the fiction and all kind of stuff or what have you, far as the word or the Bible. But, you know, one thing about the principles in the Bible, they have never been proven to be fallible. You understand what I'm saying? And all these other books, help books, motivations and everything else, they have taken all their principles from the Bible. You dig what I'm saying? So that's my rule of thumb, and I would tell anybody if they want to, you know what to check themselves on, use the principles of the Bible to check anything that you're doing or question those thoughts and different things that come to your head. And if it doesn't line up with those principles, then you know that's not going to work for you, you know, not work for the best for you. You understand what I'm saying? That's what I use. You dig what I'm saying? To know what's best for me. That's what I make my decisions off. That's my rule, my measuring stick. And it works excellent for me.
Right, right. And I tell people this, man, even if you don't believe in the Bible, I don't get into people's religion. If your religion makes you be a better person, and so be it, believe it. Anything that you believe in that makes you a better creature, a better person, whether male or female, whether boy or girl, while you walk in the face of this earth, then go at it. As long as it's not changing you to be something that you're not, to be evil. Because, hey, for every good, there's evil. For light, there's dark. For on, there's off. And that's how it is here on earth where we live. So, you know, man, I appreciate that, man. I want to ask you, too, man. I really got to ask you now. Based on the book, then we just got into something real deep, and I really appreciate that. That's people need to hear that. It must have been meant for somebody, the Philosians, our loved ones out there to really hear that. I hope y'all caught that now. We know y'all, we told y'all to go holler at, you know, the Drea show, with I Need a Thug, which is T period, H period, U period, G period. But please hold on to what we just said. Because that's something that's going to allow you to grow in your walk of life outside of
most
you.
Definitely.
That's something that you need to have. So please listen to the playback. Listen to this because that's an excerpt of the show that was very deep, that was warranted, very warranted. So, man, MCA period, D period, E period, Mr. Adrian does everything. Man, I really appreciate you, man. We got about 5-7 minutes. I say about 5 minutes left in the show. So I'm gonna give it to you. I'm gonna turn it over to you, man. You just spoke so eloquently. And I did want to bring this up before I turn it over to you. The better half of this show, Valerie Denise Jones, celebrity consultant. She's putting together. She's working behind the scenes right now, getting ready to put together a book club, so to say, a media book club, and allow people like yourself who have a book, if we give you extended invitation to you, will you come back and read excerpts of your book to our loved ones, our followers out there, and then by you doing that, they can get acquainted with it, and we can have them go follow your book, purchase your book, whatever the case may be. But we do want to give you all the opportunity, those who have books like yourself, to come back and share some of the book with the listening audience out here, man.
Most definitely. I would definitely love to do that.
Okay, so I will make sure that we stay in touch. Valerie, I know she's behind the scenes listening. She'll edit, she'll hear this in the playback, and we'll make sure to stay in contact about that. And I'm serious, we're going to follow up with that to get you back and about the book, especially dealing with the soul, dealing with something that's so real. And not to necessarily be a preacher, holier than thou, but just to be real. And those who can relate, eat the meat, throw away the bone. If you don't relate, if it ain't for you, it's just not for you. But I felt it. I agree with it. And that's why I want to extend you that invitation, really, to come back and share that more in depth with our listening audience. So at this time, like I told you, I'm going to turn it over to you. We're approaching the end of the show. I appreciate you, my brother, taking time out your day. But right now, go ahead and make your final thoughts, man. You got it. Let's get it.
I just, you know, I like to say, you know, to the people that we have to, you know, it's a lot going on right now in the world, a lot of drama, a lot of different things. And we're coming into some serious times that's coming up in financial and different things like that. And I like to tell people as well, cryptocurrency, don't look at crypto as something that's bad or like a scheme, because they don't want you to, you know, be a part of it, get a part of it. But all the major companies over the last couple of years have gotten in behind the lines, okay, and they're getting their monies up and their situations right. And that currency, cryptocurrency, is going to be the future, whether you like it or not. Matter of fact, we actually need it, because they're not able to go in and print up all the money like they've done before and make our money and devalue the dollar, the hard-working dollar that you work for now. So we need crypto for checks and balances. And it's going to be a thing of the future where people will realize the way it moves, the way you can move it, and how it works better for you, more convenient for you. It's just, understand that is the future, and don't let these people fool you out here and trick you out of not being a part. Just like when Amazon and all these different companies started in the 90s, and Google and all that, and then they tell you about the bubble. Oh, the bubble. Oh, don't mess with it. And now people that got shares in those different companies are on another level. And the regular people are left out again. So don't get caught this time the same way. You got to do your due diligence. You got to find out about it. You got to learn about it, period, because whether you invest or not, you're going to have to deal with it. Trust me.
And when you mention cryptocurrency, you referencing like Bitcoin and all the other different types of cryptocurrencies that are
correct.
Out there, correct?
Correct. Yes, definitely. You got to do your due diligence and find out about it. Just learn about it. Just cut on YouTube and say, what is cryptocurrency? Just learn about it, because this is some information, valuable information that you're going to need. You understand what I'm saying? And there's going to be a time that I believe that crypto is going to be the saving grace for financial system, period, in the world. You know, so you need to pay attention, or you get left behind. Adapt or die.
Wow. Oh, man. Indeed. Y'all, hey, listen to it. Do your homework on the cryptocurrency. Like you say, you don't either face it, learn how to use it. Knowledge ain't never hurt nobody at all.
That's right.
MCADE, man, go ahead and get your social media, though. Where do people can find you at, man? So they can go ahead and link with you, follow you, keep up with the way.
They can catch me on Facebook at, MCADE Bass Mechanic, I think it is. Yeah, MCADE Bass Mechanic. Twitter, MCADE, Instagram, The Bass King. You can catch my daughter, officially One Drea, on Twitter and Instagram. Adria Hines on Facebook. And I think that's about the size of it. It's all I can think of right now. But that's what
well,
it is.
Indeed. Indeed, indeed. At this time, I want to bring in, man, the lovely Valerie Denise Jones. I thought I'd go ahead and give my spiel. Let her come in. Let her ask you anything and make her final comments. Give her social media and then let her end the show. But, again, I do appreciate you, MCADE, a pioneer. The starter of the subgenre, man, Miami-based music. Again, man, y'all do your homework. I appreciate you stopping through, taking time out your day. I give you your day back. Please, we're going to get behind the scenes, man, reach out to you for that single from the Drea Show. And also to get you back, man, once we go ahead and get all the things together to come back and share that book you written with us. So all my loved ones out there, you already know who it is. I'm your boy, T-Lo the Great, P-H like phone, E-L-O. T-H-E-G-R-E-A-T on all social media sites. And philothegreat.com, bossradiolive.com. Hey, and as always, get with it or quit it. Barbecue me a Duke. Some will, some won't, some do, some don't. And if you got a problem with anything I said, you got two choices. Either check it or respect it. Gone. Valerie!
Yeah, I want to thank everybody. MCAD, how you feeling? Are you good?
I'm good, Mama. I'm good.
Yeah, yeah. So they haven't grabbed you up, held you hostage, and you know, attacked you to be on Love and Hip Hop Miami?
No, they haven't. They haven't. I actually know a couple of producers and stuff over there. We chopped it up, but more so, like I said, I'll be trying to push my daughter's situation, mm-hmm. you know, but we never know, you know, how things are going to go.
Yeah, yeah. So I want you to reach out to us now when you do your biopic, because I definitely want to, start from the bottom and work my way up, but you would definitely be the perfect victim. You started all of this, so we might as well start with you. Definitely that. Wow, so you're a spiritual guy. That was very impressive, too.
That's what's up. Yeah, check out that book, What is the Soul, by Adrian T. Hines. It's on Amazon, mm-hmm. Barnes & Noble, and all of that, you know.
Yeah. So you're going to come back and minister to us, to our fans, and your fans, our big old family. Yeah, that's going to be a blessing.
Yeah.
I'm still working on that behind the scenes because I want to do something bigger than just broadcast it. You know, I want to find a way that we can toss it back to you and, you know, do something on a larger scale because people don't read no more. Do you find that?
Yes, I do. Yes, I do. Yeah, I think that's great what you want to do. You know, because we, you know, like I said, knowledge is key, you know. So
mm-hmm.
people definitely need to, you know, hear what's going on and understand some things and help us move out of these situations we're in.
Gotcha. Yeah, so that's it, man. I don't know. Is there anything that's going on in the news that you'd like to address? We had a bunch of recent shootings. You definitely do not have to respond to this. Because it's not, you know, you're not obligated to engage. But this company, you know, the country is in, and I think we're kind of in the middle, you know. Some people know what to do and some
mm-hmm.
people don't. But is there anything in the news, any prayers you'd like to send out, anything you'd like to say before we wrap?
You know, just I would pray for the people that they understand, and you know, understand that nobody, no man, is going to be able to protect you. That only the Father can protect you, because it's dangerous out here, you know. And if you're not protected or have a hedge of protection around you, you're in trouble. You know, so, and there's only one that can do that, you know, and I would say understand that and look to him, and look to him only, because we look to change laws, we look to do this and that, but all that's a bunch of bull crap. You've been doing that for how many years, and ain't nothing, doesn't help you, nothing changed. They're still shooting you down, killing you, laying you out. So understand where your help really comes from. That's why it's still happening to you, because you're looking to the wrong person to help you. You looking the man to help you. Man can't do nothing for you.
Yeah, preach, preach, preach. I love that, definitely. Do you have any, have you ever thought, I want to give this away and give this to you, but yeah, preaching over like any of your old songs. What's one of your favorites? Because I'm going to add that to the edit and probably get you, you know, to read just a little bit so I can just sample and try and give people a sense of the direction we're trying to go. But what's your favorite song? One of your favorite songs?
One of my favorites.
Yeah, out of your catalog.
I love my music a lot. You know, but Bass Rock Express has a good bed track. Bass Rock Express and Bass Mechanic, they have good bed tracks. You know, especially Bass Rock Express, because it's a little more demure, and it'll let you be able to, you know, be heard a little better, should I say.
Gotcha. All right. Well, do me a favor. When's the next time you're going to be in the studio?
I don't know right now, because we're just promoting and working on videos and different things like that right now. So I'm not in the studio, per se, right this moment. Yeah. But would you want to drop or?
Well, what I want from you, it's sort of like a drop, but I wanted you to do something a little special for me, being that we're kinfolk, you know, at least skinfolk.
uh-huh.
The same, you know, definitely that. But yeah, I would love for you to, because I don't want to botch it up, and it's, the song is so iconic. One of my favorites is Bass Mechanic, so, you know, but you pick. But I really would love for you to just read a few verses from your book over that and send it back to me so that we could put that out there, because I'm still looking for the proper way to pitch it. I don't just want to throw it out, you know, just like, broadcast or whatever. But yeah, it would be nice if you could do that. I don't know what your schedule is this week. Or just text me and let me know, you know, how you're looking. And I want to add it, you know, definitely to the edit. Definitely put that on our heart page and share that throughout the week. Because we got one person, her birthday's Thursday, and she's a huge fan, and she couldn't make it because she's at work. Our show actually airs early than a lot of people get off from work, so a lot of the people that are connected to me, they don't get off until 5, and we wrap around 5. But, yeah, just reach out to me via text and just let me know. Let me know what's going on with your schedule. And we definitely want to get your daughter, your seed, you know, on one of our shows. Bring both of you on and have you guys rap together. Yeah.
It's been a pleasure.
You
from here?
Yes, yeah.
You're
I was born
here?
Actually Cedars Hospital. Cedars of Lebanon.
Oh, okay, all right.
Yeah.
Cedars. Okay.
Yeah, I was
That's
born and raised in Coconut Grove. I say the old Coconut Grove because the new one, I don't really know it much. Yeah.
Yeah, well, same land.
Yeah. I was just telling Philip, I don't want to hold you you know, too much, but I was just telling Philip, I said, I remember the days I had to get to the flea market because they had the hottest fashion. And you never wanted to go to the mall because you didn't want another girl rocking your, you know, your same look. And so at the flea market, they always had different styles. And I asked him, you know, I mean, I was talking to him. I was like, dang, I wonder if the flea markets are still popping the way that they were, you know, when I was coming up. And so I'm going to ask you, are the flea markets still a really big deal? Are people still riding the jitneys? Are people still eating conch? What's going on?
All those things are still going on. All those things are still going on. Yeah.
Okay. You a big conch fan? Do you know how to cook it?
I used to eat conch.
Okay.
I mean, conch was that bomb food, you know what I'm saying? But, you know, the more of my spiritual walk pulled me away from that, so.
Oh, so you're more on the vegan side. Is that what I'm sensing?
Well, conch is, you know, like I said, as far as the food that is in the line with pork, and I don't do so. That's just my preference, you know, as far as my spiritual walk.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Gotcha. Yeah. Do you go to the Goombe Festival? Is that still popping out there? I don't remember the last time I was at a Goombe Festival.
It's weaned down a lot.
Okay.
It's not like it used to be at all. Yeah. It's not like it used to be at all. It's really almost non-existent.
Gotcha. I got Caribbean blood flowing through my veins. So are you from the islands, or you one of the pure?
I'm born. Well, you know, actually, it's crazy. It is my great grandfather was actually met, I guess, my grandmother in Georgia, and he came across on a banana boat. He was a black Cuban, and
you speak Spanish too.
You know, yeah.
Ah, look at you! Look at you!
Yeah, so it's kind of crazy, but it is what it is, you know?
Okay. Yeah, well, we definitely got to keep in touch. Definitely that.
Most definitely.
So I'm going to hit you up. Another big shout-out, you know, to Jeff. Thank you so much. He'd be repping the Bay Area, but this time he decided to touch us and bless us with some down south flavor, and I definitely appreciate that. Thank you so much for your time. Give a big cyber hug, you know, to your daughter. Like I said, we skin folk, maybe even kin folk. You know, you never know. My really big, small place, right? So, hey, you just
yes,
never
it
know.
Is.
Yeah, my dad ran Opa-locka in Overtown. Yeah, he was doing his thing, all his dirt. So, ain't no telling. You talked about only knowing about one child. My dad was trying to, we are the world, but let me stop. He was planting seed everywhere. So, yeah, wow.
That's what's up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I just wanted to make you laugh before we get off. Yeah, I met my goal. That's good. Yeah.
Well, tell your
thank
dad,
you so
I,
much.
I envy. Yeah. Huh? Well, thank you. I said I envy your dad. You know, having the kids.
Oh, you do.
Know, that's what's up. Yeah.
You said you
definitely.
Envy him.
Yeah, having kids. Oh man, that's the bomb.
Really, that's the bomb making him. I don't know about having him because. You know, his problem was, and I'm sorry, I'm looking at the clock. I apologize so much. But his problem was he never had a boy. So he kept, and he tried multiple women because he thought, well, shoot, I got two over here, one over here. It was like one little, two little, three little Indians, and they were all girls. And so, God dang, at five, he was like, shoot, I guess I can't produce a son. So I took it upon myself to act like a tomboy. And it was really hard to pull off because I had my little Barbie doll look going. But I had that tomboy spirit or whatever. So, yeah, it was crazy. It was really, he wanted a boy and he died without one. So, dag.
Yeah. Well, I'm sure he...
Yeah, I'm sure he loved you all just as much, so it's
yeah,
all good.
Yeah, he did. I was Daddy's little girl. Oh, my God, I miss
That's
him.
That's right.
He's no longer with us, but, yeah, that was my baby. Yeah.
That's
yeah,
what's up.
Definitely
That's
that.
What's up.
So I know you spoil your daughter, right?
Yeah, some say too much, but, yeah, it is what it is.
It's all good. It's all good. Queens rule the world. Yeah, so I appreciate you again. Thank you. Thank you. So, yeah, what I'm going to do, again, I'm going to give you a chance to hit me up, like I said, via text. Let me know. Even during, I think it's Audacity, right, Philo? I think Audacity. But I don't know. Like, you know, they got different things on the phone. I don't know the situation. I don't know what kind of phone you got or whatever. But if you can't pull it off, that'll be great. If not, yeah, just write a few tracks for me and just send it to me. Yeah, so I could add it to the final edit and get that to you, you know, by the time we do the
okay.
show next week. Yeah, so it's going to be a
okay.
blessing. Well, big shout out. Thank you so much. I praise God for you. Thank you so much for tapping into our spiritual today and blessing us. I don't know. Next time I talk to you, will I be calling you Deacon A-D-E?
Yeah. I just believe
all
that
right.
you're doing 1 + 1. It's just math. That's all it is for me, you know.
Gotcha.
Nothing
gotcha.
Special. It just makes sense. Yeah.
Gotcha. Yeah. Well, thank you. Thank you again. Big shout out. I am going to definitely give you an applause here. I really appreciate it. And please, guys, please make sure that you visit him on social media. I forgot to ask, do you have a website or just like a place they can go, a central location, and just kind of click, 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 and tick, tick?
All I have is, like I said,
just social media?
Stuff,
that's cool.
Yeah, like the Drea Show. She has a website, Miss Drea Show. She also, like, has a YouTube channel where, you know, because she interviews different people as well. So,
okay.
Yeah, so I work
yeah.
behind the scenes and stuff and produce the show and stuff like that. So.
Ah, so you got to get us on her show. Look at that. Network. Networking.
That's what's up.
Yeah,
That's
you got to invite
up.
Us. We'll come over to your house.
Okay.
And hang out. Definitely.
Definitely.
All right. Well, I'm going to let you go. Thank you again. I want to bid you adieu, give you back your day. I hope you have a great rest of the week. Again, don't forget to hit me up on, I guess, send me a text or an email or whatever. I know Philo said that I know he gave you the email address. So, yeah, that song that you're going to share, we'll just
yeah,
kind of, you know, just keep talking
can you
back
text
and forth.
Me that,
sure,
can
of course.
Text me
I'll
that
text you his
email
address.
Yeah, of course.
Text me that. Definitely that. I'll make sure the two of you stay in contact. Yeah.
Okay.
So
well, I'd like to thank you guys for having me on.
Thank you.
And it was, you know, it was my pleasure, you know.
Thank you. Thank you. All right. So, yeah, we are out of here, guys. Thank you so much for tuning in. This has been definitely been a big exclusive on Big Exclusives. Hosted by Valerie Denise Jones, Philo the Great. Please make sure you join us in a few hours here at 7 p.m., different channel, different platform, but 7 p.m., so you got to go to philothegreat.com for details because he is taking over Tennessee. The actual show name is Tennessee Takeover. I always screw that up. I apologize, guys. Tennessee Takeover at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Philo the Great. Got some great guests. Lala and Peasy in the building. And also, what's the guy's name? One more time. Darrell. Darrell, right, Philo?
Indeed.
Got Darrell in the
Indeed.
House today.
Darrell Turk.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yes, yes, yes. What a blessing. A master class. We're going to have to get Pastor ADE to see just a master class here very soon. He's going to have to bless us with that. We'll be part spiritual and part secular. It's all right. That's how we do it. Hey, we read each one. We reach everybody. That's yeah, we do it all. Like he did. He's everything.
So
he does
man,
it everything.
My man is from Tennessee, right?
Yeah.
Because you sound like a guy I know, Daryl. Out of Tennessee, the accent. Who's the manager for New Beginning with Usher and all of that? Back in the day. Yeah, because you know we actually started Usher's career as well. You know.
Oh, what a blessing!
Right when he was in Chattanooga. When he lived in Chattanooga,
yes, sir.
Before he moved to
that's
the
right.
ATL.
We brought him here to Florida first. You understand what
okay.
I'm saying? And that's how we started him out. And then we happened to send him to his mom in Atlanta for him to visit her. And she messed around and took him to the Babyface Showcase, and the rest was history.
The rest was history. Do you know AJ?
The rest was history.
Do you know AJ?
AJ?
AJ was working with Usher.
I don't know. I know some AJs, but.
He was working with Usher down in Miami when he first got started.
AJ.
Dang.
AJ.
Because I'm drawing a blank. Oh. Because he helped me get into a lot of music videos. He's kind of the person who pushed me into that world. And I'm drawing a blank. I apologize. It's only because I don't mean to hold you. I'm so sorry. But, yeah, he's down there where you are. Light-skinned guy. He works with a lot of artists. And he worked with Ernest. He worked with him. AJ Alexander is his name. AJ Alexander. Do you know him?
Yeah. Most definitely. Yeah, I know him.
That's the person who helped me get my start in the music video scene.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Well, if you see him, ask him about Foresight, because there would be no Usher if it wasn't for Foresight. We brought him down from Tennessee. It was him and four of the boys, and they were called New Beginning. And we developed them for like a couple of years, doing material and putting them on tours and the Chitlin Circuit and all of that. You know what I'm saying? And, you know, we got kind of done kind of dirty in the deal, but, yeah, that's what happened. You know.
That's all right, Deacon AD. We're going to bring it back. We're going to bring it back with the spiritual, on the spiritual tip. And then, we're going to pull in all these young souls, these millennials, and then take it all the way back up to the top. We're going to put it all in the biopic. Yeah, so I love it.
And that's what I like, the stories behind the stories told right here. Because a lot of people don't understand that. Everybody starts somewhere, and I want all you independent, aspiring artists to know, you too. Usher, too, started as New Beginning in Chattanooga before he became the Usher Raymond the world knows. So ain't no different than y'all, man. You know what I'm saying? Work hard, stay down, believe till you come up. Indeed.
Amen.
Y'all heard it here, man. It is.
Gotcha.
That's right.
All right, Deacon, I'm going to let you go for real, I promise. Because I can talk. I love my people. Do you understand what I'm saying? Like, I love my job.
Malone,
I love working with people. Huh?
Hey, so, Valerie, if he the deacon, you the preacher, right? Because you keep holding us. We're trying to get home. We're trying to go.
I know, right?
You keep holding us, preacher. You going to let us out?
Holding people. Definitely that. Oh, my goodness. So I think the best thing to do is just get out of here. All right, guys, we're done. 97-477-1167. I will see you guys at 7 o'clock. The other platform 516-666-9834. PhiloTheGreat.com. Make sure you go there. Get the deets. We love you guys. Life. Have a great rest of the day. We out.
Want to know more about big media? Tune in every Tuesday and Friday at 4 p.m. Eastern. Don't forget to subscribe to our channels.